Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Now, if you're looking for a new podcast, listen, our pod squad are with me in studio today to separate the gold from the rubbish. And today we're chatting about maintenance face.
What is the origin story of the seed oil stuff? And like, well, who started it and why did so many people pick it up?
These, if you go sort of on like Manosphere, TikTok and Substack, etc., I pulled a couple like random headlines that are going around. One of them is how industrial seed oils are making us sick. 8 toxic seed oils. Is vegetable oil bad for you? The science behind the worst food in human history. There's a documentary called Fed a Lie, The Truth About Seed Oils. There's This Is How Canada Convinced You to Eat Engine Lubricant. I love that we can blame Canada.
Wow.
So I am sending you a tweet.
You have sent me a tweet. Fuck you, first of all.
Thank you.
RFK Jr. is the poster of this tweet. The tweet reads, fast food is a part of American culture, but that doesn't mean it has to be unhealthy and that we can't make better choices.
Pod Squad with me in studio today, Elaine Power, who is the host of What's Trending in Formula One podcast, and our own Padraig Wilson-McCarthy from the News Talk newsroom. Good afternoon, folks. How are you doing? Elaine, you might explain to listeners, first of all, what is Maintenance Phase all about?
Okay, so it's a, I think it's monthly podcast. But they have a very long back catalogue. It would be what I describe it to people as like health science meets pop culture, because they aim to debunk wellness trends, myths, but they will also kind of deep dive into like a diet book, or they might deep dive into a person who's peddling a certain diet. So it's kind of a pop culture element, but there is also a good bit of science in it. And it's hosted by Aubrey Gordon and Michael Hobbs. So Aubrey Gordon is a podcaster and activist, and she started writing a blog called Your Fat Friend, and she talks about her experiences as living in a larger body, and particularly in the US, about the anti-fat bias that exists in healthcare and within society. And then Michael Hobbs is a journalist. So you've actually reviewed a podcast with Michael Hobbs. You're wrong. No, it was the If Books Could Kill.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That was a good one to go, actually. All right.
Yeah.
But so this is really all about nutritional myths that exist. Like all of the different, often sometimes Padraig, conspiracy theories that we read about online or we hear about.
Totally. And I think it's something that really interests me, because like nutrition would be something that like I'm an expert in, but it is something that I'm interested in, right? Particularly around like nutrition for training and stuff. And I think for someone who was kind of brought up in late 90s, early noughties, we had Special K diets, we had Herbalife, we had all these things that were, you know, sold to us as these brilliant like things that you can do to lose weight, and actually in hindsight now they've all been debunked, and they're actually terrible for us, you know. So I thought that this was really interesting, actually, at looking back at some of the old things, but also some of the trends that we're hopping on now that actually probably aren't as good for us and are probably just PR. PR.
There's two, I list, how many podcasts in total, Lynn?
There's 135.
I've listened to two of them. One about the diet book deep dive, and the one that we played a short clip of there about seed oils.
Yeah.
So do all of the different episodes take like a myth and then chat about it? Is that the
premise? They take a topic, I guess, and like it's diet culture books. So like that, whichever one you would have listened to, there's diet culture books. Then there's like a person. Then there's maybe a science topic, or then they will look at like a piece of policy that maybe exists in the US, and then where it originated from. So it could be something like 10,000 steps. We all know.
Yeah, that was a big thing a couple of years ago.
Where did that come from?
Yeah. And what I love about it is as well, we're constantly being fed online. If you're on social media at all, what we should be doing, and this is the optimum thing to be achieving, weight loss or to gain muscle and all that kind of thing. And no one really knows what's true or not anymore, because it's always one video on your feed could say one thing and it could be like a completely conflicting in the next one. So I kind of liked that about them. And also they break it down in easy to understand terms. That's where the pop culture comes into it, really, because sometimes you can listen to these things and they can be really technical.
Just on that, on the host, were you overly familiar with them in advance of this?
No, a friend of mine recommended that I listen to, a friend of mine is a doctor. She was like, you're going to love this podcast. So she recommended that I listen to it. I think the one criticism of the podcast that I have seen is that neither of them have a science background. And I think it's just important to state that they don't, because they are talking about, but as I said, it's not all science, but for the science topics, they're never also coming on and like with the seed oils episode, they didn't come on and say all of the research is wrong about seed oils. You should only eat seed oils. Yeah. They came on and said, well, maybe the people that are associated with this aren't actually as honest as you think they are, or maybe they have a hidden agenda, or maybe the research is a bit shaky. I think the benefit of them is that they're just saying, just be mindful of where you're getting your information.
Yeah, totally. And like some of them I found, even though they are breaking it down in simple terms, I found some of them more engaging than others. For example, there was one on ultra processed foods. I was trying my best because it is something that I would kind of consider my own diet, and I was trying to get into it, but I found it a bit too technical, even though they were trying to break it down. But there was other ones then. For example, there was one on The Biggest Loser, where they broke down The Biggest Loser. And I don't know if you either of you have seen the...
No. Aubrey's in it.
Yes. Yeah. In the Netflix documentary that came out. So their podcast came out in 2021 about The Biggest Loser. There's a Netflix documentary came out very recently, basically just talking about how terrible the show was. And if you haven't watched it, I know this is the Pod Squad, but I would also recommend going to watch that.
Their
podcast on that is very interesting. And they also did one about Jamie Oliver, actually.
I haven't listened to that yet.
It's very interesting because we all watched him, you know, going around to different schools, telling people what they should be eating. And they basically tear him asunder, actually.
In the podcast.
It's quite interesting to see.
You wouldn't want to be featured on this podcast.
No, you wouldn't want to be. You know, they're looking at things like, you know, how actually a lot of his stuff, and they did make sense. He was a bit like classist in ways, you know, saying that, you know, people should be buying X, Y, and Z for their children in school, but not everyone could afford it.
Yeah,
you know,
food ingredients kind of thing.
So it was very interesting to see from that point of view.
Is like during the podcast, do we hear from any guests? Throughout, because my one major criticism of the two episodes I've listened to is
just
my God, the duration.
I would agree.
The length. I mean, it was 25 minutes in at one stage of the podcast and I had 54 minutes left to go.
Yeah.
I knew that
the podcast should be an hour and a half long.
When I suggested it, and then I kind of listened back to a couple of the other pod squads and I was like, Andrea doesn't like long podcasts. I don't know if she's going to love this.
I'm sorry, 150 episodes at an hour and a half a piece.
Yeah, and I've listened to 50 of them.
That's serious.
What else are you doing?
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I don't listen to podcasts and just sit down and listen to them. I'll be cooking, I'll be cleaning, I'll be
doing
housework, walking, driving.
I think you need to be able to do that.
So I always think 45 minutes is my limit. And what I found about this was I don't have enough time in the day to sit down and listen to one of these in one sitting.
No.
Yeah.
You know
I'd like to have been in and out of them.
Yeah.
But they have had guests, but it's not their norm. They did an episode about Oprah.
Yeah.
And they had a person who had, had done a lot of research into Oprah and Oprah as a public figure. Mm. So they did it, but it's not as common.
Okay. So because there's an awful lot of information, as Padraig mentioned, out there, particularly on social media. A lot of us are probably getting our information from ill-informed people. So I think where this is interesting is that they're talking about the kind of the misinformation that's out there in relation to, you know, nutritional items, healthy wellness myths as well. Protein is probably going to be the thing of 2025. I feel like no matter where I look on social media, everybody is telling me about how much protein.
Yeah,
I'm
vegetarian, so I'm a little obsessed with protein.
Really?
Yeah, because I have to try and get it in.
I feel that protein could easily be a topic for discussion on this as part of this maintenance phase podcast in about a year's time.
Yeah, like they had one recently, I think, on Ozempic. Maybe I haven't listened to it yet, but they will hit on something. And I do think I would love a podcast on protein because I could probably relax.
Is there space, do you think, for this kind of podcast then? Yes.
I think there is. I definitely do. I think people are getting sick of being told what they need to be doing all the time. And then also it's so ever changing, isn't it? So it's nice to, it's refreshing actually. And it's not preachy. They're not telling you what you should be doing. You know, they're not saying that you have to go and get 10,000 steps. They're saying, yeah, look, you can go and get 10,000 steps. It's not going to be any harm to you. Mm. But at the same time, there's also other things that you can do, which I like, you know what I mean? And I think it comes from a place of body positivity, which I think is refreshing, actually, because as well as that, you know, you're listening to something. I don't know what they look like. But when you're looking at things online and social media, it's always coming from someone who's ripped to shreds. And that's my issue with like the fitness industry, particularly online, is that it's coming from people who are paid to be in the gym all day, you know, so it's refreshing to hear.
Doing nothing else, yeah,
absolutely.
Do you know what I mean?
You know what I mean? It's refreshing to hear from people who are just normal people who have an interest in it.
They're also not trying to sell anything,
exactly.
So they're not trying to they're not trying to sell a book necessarily. Like, you know, we're going to tell you about why all these other diets are wrong, but buy our diet book.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not what they're commentators and journalists and broadcasters.
Yeah. They're just talking about whatever the trend is. I'm sure
they're getting speaking engagements, all these kind of things because of it, but they're not trying to sell you something. And I think that's so interesting.
I want to go back to a point that Padraig mentioned, Elaine, a few moments ago. Did you find, like, is it very science related? Do you need to be very interested in the wellness world to enjoy this?
I think to listen to 50 episodes, you would,
you obviously
yeah.
are.
But I think if there's certain things that maybe you're curious about, it would be no harm to have a listen to the podcast and go, oh, that's a different perspective on a topic.
What was the big takeaway for you from this? Like, what did you, in terms of what you've learned from it, or what?
For me, it's that nutrition research is not as easy, because even if you think about it, if we were all studying the effects of protein, how do you study it so accurately? If I'm eating protein, but I'm also eating a load of fruit, and you're eating protein, you're only eating veg. Yeah. I think that's the one thing they keep coming back to, is that the health, nutrition science research, it has its limitations. So you can't just say, you see the studies come out and it goes, blueberries stop cancer. Yeah. And they're like, well, it does, do they? That's the bit that I think for me, it just reminded me to pause a bit more when I read an article where I'm like, oh, blueberries. Okay, I'll start eating blueberries.
Well, I find that particularly on TikTok as well.
No, totally. I would agree. Look, if there's a fad, if there's a bandwagon, you're going to find me on it, right? And I think it's what I liked about this is it and like that, like for the example with Ozempic, you know, that's something that everyone's talking about it at the moment. And it's nice to be able to listen to something and get another opinion of it. And it's not just someone telling you that it's the greatest thing in the world.
So if things like the keto diet, the master cleanse, the celery juice, you know, maybe if you're somebody who's very focused on your BMI, your body mass index, these are all topics that are kind of under the microscope throughout this maintenance phase podcast. Will you recommend this, Elaine?
I do recommend it, yeah. But I do think, though, if you've no real interest in health, you're probably not going to like it. It's got a great back catalogue. And that's, I think, the bit I like. That's why I've listened to so many episodes, is because I went back and just went through them. And then before you know it, I'm into another episode and I'm like, oh, sure, I'll do a bit more cleaning.
Going, yeah. Are you going to stick with it?
I find them, they're a bit too yappy for me.
Right.
One of them has a very annoying laugh. I don't know if you noticed that at all, and it kind of drove me around the bend a small bit.
Well, so somebody who like
equally
about.
Has an annoying laugh.
But oh, come here, pocket black hair. But no, I would recommend it if it's something that you're interested in. I don't know if I could ever listen to 50, but I could definitely listen to the ones that that I'm interested in.
Yeah, like I'd probably listen to the episode about Ozempic. I hadn't even come across that.
I haven't listened to it yet.
I'm interested in learning more about it, because I feel like, you know, the amount of people I know that are on it and taking it and using it, and I'm interested in understanding.
There was actually another episode on Halo Top ice cream as well, which I thought was very interesting as well. And they just talk about like alternatives. You know, we're always being sold alternatives or sugar free alternatives. Are they always great? The best thing for us? Maybe, maybe not.
How many stars out of 5, Elaine?
See, I can't come in with a 5 like for my first appearance, so I'll say 4.5
out of 5 is a very
decent.
Good start, no doubt at all.
I'll go 3.5.
Yeah, and what are you deducting?
Just the length of it. Again,
length,
I can't
well, the length for me
length
is a good enough reason
I
to
love
do,
a long
yeah.
podcast.
Yeah. Deduct major points. Our very own Padraig Wilson McCarthy and Elaine Power, host of the What's Trending in Formula One podcast. Thanks a million to you both for joining us here on the Pod Squad this Monday afternoon.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday. On News Talk.